keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to the Qua world, the Queering the Air show.
Indeed.
And my name is Madison Moffat. My pronouns are she and her. And I am joined today with my wonderful co-presenter.
Atlas Bailey, I guess, if we're doing last names.
Yes, well, that's not necessary. I just like the sound of it. Madison Moffat.
It is good. The double M is very good.
Yes.
Yeah. And I use the he, she, they. Any pronouns, really. Can't get them wrong.
Lovely. Yes. Lovely. And what are you intending to do today in this studio?
Today in this studio, I intend to listen to the sound of the breeze, take a long walk on the beach.
Do you like pina coladas?
Yeah, they're pretty good, actually.
Get caught in the rain.
I don't know about the rain.
Not the rain, yeah, the rain's starting to suck, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. The coldness in Melbourne's getting real.
Real old.
We're talking about the weather. This is very neurotypical.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, we both did it.
But, and so many people catching colds and flus in the community.
If you can hear in my voice a little bit, I'm recovering from one myself.
Yeah, it's very irritating. I'm an asthma sufferer, so I don't think it was until I had asthma that I realized I probably had a cold. Because, if you're on estrogen, and if you're taking other things, for diabetes and whatnot, and blood pressure tablets, what are they? Blood cholesterol tablets. All these things can make you feel down in one way physically. Mm. So how is to know if you have the flu?
It can be very hard to tell, that's for sure.
It can be.
Yes.
So that's enough about me aches and pains.
Yeah, I don't know. You could go on about that for the whole hour if you really wanted. But,
okay, I will.
No, Madison, we've got things to talk about.
We do. We have things to talk about. So we're going to have someone discuss with David Gould, who is the head of the Carlton Pride Group, the trials and tribulations of being an AFL supporter when one is queer, and in some ways what one can, and in the case of David and their colleagues, what one has done to counter homophobia, transphobia, etc.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That sounds like a very good discussion to have, especially in the Australian context.
Yeah, I think so. And also, we are going to be talking about Stonehenge. No, not Stonehenge. Let's instead talk about Stonewall.
I don't know. I like the henge better.
Stonehenge.
Who threw the first henge?
who threw the first stone? Well, who knows? Who balanced the first stone on top of the other stone at Stonehenge?
We'll never know.
It's very similar to the question we might actually be touching on. Who threw the first stone at Stonewall?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a bit of controversy around it. That's been a bit of a battleground, historical battleground.
I mean, it is difficult when a stone wall is built by many who put that first stone down.
Yes.
Let's find out in a little bit.
Let's find out. So we'll be talking about that today too, on account of it very recently having been, I think it was yesterday having been, the commemoration of the Stonewall Riots. Yes. Ooh, there you are. There's a cough already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're still recovering, that's for sure.
So it was the early mornings of June the 28th in 1969 that the Stonewall Inn had said riot.
Mm.
Yes, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, just yesterday.
It was merely yesterday.
And some, you know, however many years.
Yes, that's right. Okay, Radiothon. We can't escape it.
Keep the frequency clear.
But guess what?
You don't get to tell.
Why is it doing that?
Why is it?
It says Radiothon, and then it, yeah, I don't know.
And then it's not Radiothon.
We'll have the cool, jazzy, relaxed Radiothon vibe.
Oh, okay.
Radiothon! On Queering the Air.
A Radiothon.
On Queering the Air.
A Radiothon.
Yes. On Queering the Air.
Radiothon.
On Queering the Air.
Radiothon.
On Queering the Air.
Radiothon.
So for those who aren't aware, the last bit there is the 3CR Radiothon chicken.
And if you're not aware, we can't be friends. You really should know about the Radiothon chicken.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, unfortunately, as I've just, and this is more an explanation for my fellow broadcasters on 3CR. Unfortunately, the Radiothon guidebook for broadcasters consisted of 21 pages or 22 pages. And so it was page 23 where the Radiothon chicken was outlined in full. So anyone wondering why on earth I'm including the Radiothon chicken, that's why, because they missed out, unfortunately. But I happened to get a master copy that had the Radiothon chicken outlined.
I mean, that makes sense for you, Mads.
It makes sense for me, if not no one else. So, and if you are so inclined, we invite you to show your solidarity and support for 3CR and for Queering the Air specifically, by donating to the 3CR Radiothon.
And how would we do that?
Well, one way we can do that is by going to the Crowdraiser for Queering the Air on the on that webby site. What's the webby site?
Crowdraiser? Did you mean like fundraiser?
The fundraiser webby site, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes, that's we're so prepared.
The crowdfunding website, yes. It's left my mind since you've looked at me.
I've just looked at you and it's left your mind?
Yes.
Is it because of my sea green eyes?
I got lost in the muds.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Or you could call on a weekday, it is probably easiest, on 03-9419-8377. I put the 03 in there because, as I've said before to listeners, what I read is what I will say.
And I mean, we have listeners, I'm sure, from all over the place.
We do.
Yes.
Oh, that's true. So I noticed that Rotations had people donating from Gadigal Land,
lovely. Gadigal Land,
yeah. Gadigal Land, they come from Gadigal Land. What it's like, it's absolutely awesome. Gadigal Land.
That's New South Wales, right?
Yeah, that's the Gadigal
Land
song.
I don't think
song.
That you can say awesome.
Oh, Sydney specifically. No.
I'm sorry, I'm staunch Melbourne boy, born and raised.
All right, and a little later, when I've got my act together, I'll say what the Queering the Air donation webpage is.
Mm-mm.
But not now, because I'm not prepared. Sorry.
Well, no, that's... You can be as ill-prepared as you like, Mads.
Well, I don't know. I think there will be a meeting between me and the Radiothon subcommittee sometime next week because of my ill-preparedness.
With the chicken?
With the chicken. The chicken will be there standing at the table ready to pluck my eyes out.
Oh, no. If the chicken's going to be there, that's it for you.
The 3CR chook is brutal. But alternatively, 03-9419-8377, not presently, but sometime during the weekday between, I think it's 10 till 5, isn't it? Do they start at 10 a.m.?
I believe so. Yeah. Let's go with that rather than make it earlier and be wrong.
10 a.m. through to 5 p.m. weekdays. Alrighty, so now is the time for one of our regular slots. Which one would that be? What slot would that be? Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, yes.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow. What do you do? Which one?
Meow, 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 meow.
Which slot?
What do you
do?
Boom.
What do you do?
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah.
What do
you
do? Alrighty. It's time for meow, 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 meow.
What is it again?
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Woof.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow,
meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow,
meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow,
meow. Look, I did really try to get some kind of bird noise in there, but with this cold, like, my upper register is gone.
Oh,
yeah, we got soft, sultry tones today.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. There we are.
There's I don't think I could do that.
No, you'd end up coughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I was like sometime last week.
Yes. So you gave it to me, Madison.
Who knows? Who knows? So, what is going on in the world that is Qua?
Well, would you like to start or shall I start? I've only got one. You've got a few.
I'll start because I've got a few. All right, so the Winter Warmers Film Festival that's being hosted by Sarah Lamberg, who was a friend of the show about 3 weeks ago or so. No longer a friend of the show. She's decided she hates us.
Oh.
No, that's not true.
I was going to say that would be a damn shame. Well, she's so lovely.
Well, I noticed it. I said previously, previously a friend of the show. Well, still is. So the Winter Warmers Film Festival, it's started on the 8th of June, but there's still a number of sessions to go. So at the moment, they have still available to be booked. On Sunday, the 15th of June, you can see the Westermark Effect, which is a drama. And on the Sunday, the 22nd of June, you can see The Lies That We Tell Ourselves. Hang on. This is all a bit out of date, isn't it?
Might be.
Oh, no. Encore sessions. Let's talk about that. So on Thursday, the 26th of June, there's Coma. I saw Coma.
How was it?
That was good.
But that's...
I saw it on the 26th of June.
I mean, yeah, we're getting a book report, but I want your feelings.
I have no feelings.
That's a lie.
No, so I found the film to be confronting in a good way because one of the things, without giving too much away, you never see the protagonist.
Mm.
And that's that can be a little disconcerting.
And, I mean, we did talk about that when we had them on the show too.
Yeah, that's
right. That was what particularly intrigued our team about.
Yes.
About the whole film was that you never actually really see or interact with the protagonist.
Yes, no, that's right. And that most certainly does give that vibe. And there was even an interesting discussion, again, I don't think I'm giving too much away, where assumptions could be made, but could indeed be erroneously made, even as to the protagonist's gender.
Yes, that's what excited me as a non-binary person that is like, you know, if we could just think about people as people and not involve gender in the equation so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a much more, I would assume, I unfortunately wasn't there due to illness, but I really assume that you can sort of explore the gendered nature of the world through having a non-gendered protagonist.
Yes, yes.
That's my imagination anyway.
That's very valid. So on Saturday the 5th of July, now looking forwards, I was talking about the past, now I'm looking forwards, that's how time works, they've got a special session where it's actually the closing night, and so they're going to be showing shorts and a mini feature called Conversations with Spithead.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
They're having conversations with you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Oscar. I mean, very much.
This Atlas. Is not Oscar. This is Atlas. So, we are, believe it or not, two separate individual people.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we're both trans masks, so I guess we all look the same to you.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then it's just normally the barbs came from Oscar, so yes.
Yes, so, you know, getting them from me is a bit like, what's going on?
Yeah. My brain just goes, ah.
I mean, that's fair.
What does it do?
Wow.
It goes, ah. And on Saturday, the 5th of July at 8 p.m, they've got a film that I'm going to be seeing tonight called The Lies We Tell Ourselves, which is sort of a comedy and a bit of a mockumentary around filmmaking. So for those who love the idea of, delving into filmmaking with a somewhat queer lens, you know, not overly stated, but certainly by virtue of the director, a somewhat queer lens, then that could be of interest.
Absolutely. I think that also sounded like a really fascinating one of the lot that are up for the Winter Warmers Festival, but I think they all really have their own merit if you have a look into the synopsis and sort of background of all of the pieces. It seems like quite a wonderful set of cinema.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So part of the fact that it's the Winter Warmers, it's all about you show up and you get yourself, as part of the ticket, mulled wine. Yes. So you're sitting there drinking your mulled wine, you know, just getting warmed from the winter chill.
Warmed by the mulled wine, yes?
Yes, and by the film.
And by the film?
Yeah, nourished by both.
I love that.
Yes. What have you got on for the meow, 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 meow?
So we have the Focus on Queer Cinema, queer Chinese cinema that is still happening at Acme.
Yes.
Yes, that is happening at Acme in the city. I'm just...
ACMI, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image.
Yes, that's the one.
Yes, it's around, what's it called? You know, the big grey building. What's that area called? Federation Square.
Oh, Federation Square.
Yeah, it's at Federation Square in the CBD.
It is. It is indeed.
Yeah. So I think that's really important. You know, we've said this in previous episodes because we think this is worth a good plug, repeated plug. You know, this is about queer cinema, but it's also about Chinese cinema and Asian cinema.
Mm.
And I don't think that we've had, you know, around Melbourne, that kind of intersectional film festival.
No, we don't get many of them around for, like, you know, multiple, obviously, what do you call them? Multiple sort of identities and cultures intersecting, for sure.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, when we're talking about Eastern countries and countries that have had different timelines to us in terms of queer rights.
To
see this kind of art coming and being shown, I think is really important.
Yeah, and I think it sort of absorbs us into, to the extent that we can, into a culture that is not ours.
Mm.
And I think that that can be quite humbling too, because you can recognise both what you understand and what you don't.
100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be learned there. So with the Queer Chinese Cinema, the next film that's actually going to be showing is Queering the Chinese Diaspora, shorts selected by the Beijing Queer Film Festival.
Yeah.
And that's running from tomorrow, Monday the 30th of June, to Saturday the 5th of July.
Right.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Beautiful. It seems like a really nice little selection of short films. Some very, like, traditional looking outfits and sort of aesthetics.
Yes.
So looks like it'd be a really interesting one.
Yeah, wonderful. Something that's a little not the type of thing we normally plug here, but I think that, you know, this has just caught my eye. There is actually a massage service that's available for transgender, diverse and non-binary people through Transgender Victoria, and it's actually free. I've been told it's free. There's a $15 surcharge, but that's just to make sure you show.
Yeah, they give that back as soon as you show up. Yeah.
And I've been told that they're really efficient in giving back that fee as well.
From personal experience? Yeah, absolutely. I had one of their physio, It was a type of massage. At the time, it might have been the same massage therapist.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah,
Jesse?
Potentially.
All right.
But yeah, no, it was booked it in, paid the 15, and then it was in my account by the time I left.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
building.
No, really cool.
Yeah.
So basically, it's working with they call it somatic body work. So it's held on a massage table. You'll be covered with a towel or linen, but it otherwise is unclothed. And basically, it's just about that kind of massage body work, while at the same time, through using a range of practices, you're also given an opportunity to intentionally bring yourself to a mindful space, which I think is really special. You know, I mean, normally you purchase a massage and it's just all about you lying there, sometimes gritting your teeth if they're really brutal as they go through the motions. But yeah, no, this is a little more somatic.
Yeah, more somatic, more. Yeah, I love that sort of bringing mindfulness into the queer space without putting the onus on an individual to figure out how to do mindfulness.
Yeah, indeed.
Having that little guide in that beautiful, affirming space.
Yes. So, last but not least, on Wednesday the 23rd of July, from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m, at the Grouse Melbourne, which is 171 Smith Street, Fitzroy, they're having a discussion panel. And the topic is Art and Queerness in the 19th Century Australia.
Wow.
I think that could be, yeah, really quite fascinating.
Oh, incredibly. I mean, looking at Australian queer history in general is fascinating. To add those other elements is...
Yeah, 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 indeed. So, Art and Queerness in the 19th Century Australia, a panel discussion being held at Grouse Melbourne on 171 Smith Street, Fitzroy, on the year of our Lord, 2025, the 23rd of July.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Or as the people who worship the great spaghetti monster say, ramen.
I prefer to go with the Ask Queen.
Yes. All right. So that was... Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow.
Yes.
I don't know if I believe you, but nice.
Leave people wanting more.
I think that's the way to go.
So, we're going to play a song.
Well, we are.
And yes. It's the song that has been chosen by my lovely co-presenter.
Atlas. That is your co-presenter. Yeah.
Lovely co-presenter. Atlas. Not Oscar. Lovely co-presenter. Atlas.
You'll get used to it. You'll get them.
I'm practicing now.
Oh, good. So we are going to be playing you a song called Don't Forget the Tea. It's by Josh Tanner, I believe. Yeah. UK artist, obviously queer. I'm not sure if they identify as trans themselves, but we can have a look into that while we play it and get back to you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Forget the Tea by
Josh Tanner.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. Yes.
Don't forget the T.
Don't forget the T.
LGBTQIA+.
That song ends rather suddenly, doesn't it?
It really does. It's just kind of like jolt back into reality.
And it starts very suddenly.
It does.
It does.
It's a bit like a electric shock.
Yes. Now we have a new segment. We have a new segment.
Don't believe you.
This segment, which may well be regular, is by a fellow called David Hood. And we're hoping, all the stars aligned, that David Hood will actually join us as part of our regular panel.
Are you saying we might be hoodwinked?
Might be hoodwinked. That's actually a good way of putting it. Yes, yes.
Yes, just not used to having such extended hands, so I bumped the mic there.
Yes, yes. You got these lovely, long, pointy nails now.
I do. They're golden and they make these sounds.
Yes, the clicky cracky.
Yes.
Lovely. So, yes, and David has done well by interviewing a certain other David, David Gould, from the Carlton Pride Group, who support others to support the Carlton Football Club as part of the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I noticed this was actually not even solicited by me. David seems to have cottoned on to the general feel of the show already and came up with their own name. And then I forewarned them that I'll make fun of said name by coming up with an intro. So here it is.
This is David Hood with Hot Potatoes.
Hot, hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
This is David Hood, and you're listening to Queering the Air from Radio 3CR. In this little segment, I'm going to do an interview, and I've called the segment Hot Potato, so let's hope we stay warm. My guest today is Dr. David Gould, who is the author of Survivors and Thrivers, Male Homosexual Lives in Post-War Australia. The book was published in 2023 and had a commendation for the Victorian Community History Award. Now, I think, David, good day to you.
Hello.
I think you were in here with the program about 2 years ago talking about the book.
Yes, I was. Yes, yeah, in
2023. And how has it gone since? It's still available, I know.
It is still available, yeah.
Online and Hares and Hyenas, for example.
That's correct, yes.
And I believe there was some pickup of it in, was it New York?
I think it is available overseas, yes, well, although I don't know much about that, but yes.
Good on you. Now, we'll mention the book again at the end, just so that people pick up the title, just in case they're interested and haven't sort of caught up with it. But you're also the founder and now the president of the Carlton Pride Group, which is the official LBGTI plus supporter group at Carlton, which is part of the AFL. So can you tell me what the group is about, what you hope to do? Have you succeeded there? What's going on?
Yes, I founded the group in 2017. And the reason I founded it was that I went to AFL football from the ages of about 18 to 38. And I stopped going after that time. And the reason I stopped going, and it was for a 20-year period, was because I was sick of hearing homophobic abuse within the crowd. But of course, times have changed somewhat, and so I started that group in 2017. We now have an 8-person committee that meets monthly, and we are now the official supporter group of Carlton Football Club. And basically, we exist to make football a safe space for LGBTIQ plus people. And also, we want to work within the club, but behind the scenes, if you like, in making sure that people are educated about LGBTIQ plus issues.
Are you happy with how it's gone so far? Do you feel there's been progress in that area?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you get good feedback?
We do. And we have always done things in a very professional way, I think, with the club. And the club appreciates that. We work, as I said, behind the scenes. We don't want to be out there getting lots of publicity. We don't need to do it like that. But the club has been very supportive of us, and I think there's a great deal of trust that exists between us, which is great for progressing things.
Excellent. So softly, softly, not
correct.
Freedom of speech and big banners. You're
That's
just
right.
working away behind the scenes. Do you work with players at all? Do you have info sessions or whatever?
Not so much male players. In fact, not at all with the male players. With the female or AFLW players, yes, we have not worked so much, but I've done a couple of talks, and a couple of the other committee members have also done talks in front of the playing group and their coaches to educate them about the sorts of issues that come up within our community. Of course, quite a lot of the AFLW players are also part of our community, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the team don't want to know about the issues. So, yes, we have done that. Male AFL football is a different kettle of fish.
Right. Now, putting on my stirring hat for a moment, my sporting career at school was catching a cricket ball once. I was forced to play and it came arcing towards me and they're all going, drop it, because I was hopeless. And I caught the ball and I was a hero for about 25 seconds. I grew up with migrant parents. My father wasn't into soccer even or AFL at all. And I think I lack the sports gene, so I'm just going to pick your brains a little bit. You said it started at 18 when you were attending football matches, so not before then. So what's the process of getting involved and getting the virus?
Well, I think that was more about the fact that I did support football from a very early age because my mother was into football. And so until about the age of 18, I certainly supported Carlton, but I didn't get the opportunity to go to games very often.
So it was actually there way before 18.
Yes, definitely, yeah. But not having the means to get to games as such meant that I waited probably until I was an adult to be able to afford to go to games in the first place. So that's why I started around the age of 18 in terms of attending, and it was from 18 to 38 when I learned about homophobia at the football.
So that you were talking about, you know, epithets being screamed out at players and whatever. How did you feel when you had that around you at a game?
Like people would still feel now, I suspect doesn't make you feel good. It certainly doesn't make you feel safe, and it doesn't make you feel good about your community because you know that they are saying that you are bad, that there's something wrong with you, that you don't belong at the football. And in fact, the pride groups, that's what we're wanting to say back. We do belong at the football. We do have a place at the table and we're proud to be there and we want to be part of our club just as straight people want to be part of their club.
Indeed, it's very important work. Now, devil's advocate again, I'm aware of Ian Roberts, who came out in rugby, is it?
That's correct.
You'll have to forgive me if I get the religion wrong. And then the young guy in South Australia, who was a soccer player, who was quite a lot younger than Ian Roberts, he came out, I think, last year, was it? And he got a huge amount of positive feedback from that, but apparently he's still getting death threats daily on a daily basis, which is just appalling. Eddie Maguire, I remember, famously said a while back now that if a gay player came out, and he was quite keen for somebody to do that, as I recall, that he would be very supportive and the team would be very supportive to them as well. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Nowadays, yes, I would. In fact, as far as I understand, players who are gay are supported within their clubs and within their teams, but it doesn't go outside of that circle. And of course, I'm talking about the men here. AFLW is a bit different because AFLW have always seen that as part of their identity right from the start. And of course, they're not all LGBTIQ plus community, but nevertheless, it's been out there. It's been in the public sphere. And so people have become very accepting of that. But the males, having started AFL in around the 1850s, it's not the same thing. And of course, there'd be a whole lot more interest in the public in terms of a male player coming out, and we all know that there would be a media circus around that. So whilst I agree that a player would be supported, on the other hand, I can understand very well why a male player doesn't want to come out at the moment. And it's my opinion that really the responsibility is not with the player, the responsibility is with the rest of us, with the community, with their football clubs, with the coaches, with the supporters, to ensure there is a safe environment. And at the moment, that's not the case.
Very sad comment, really, when you think about it. With your current work, we mentioned our first book at the beginning of the program, you were going to look at homophobia in AFL particularly, was it?
It's in Australian rules football. So I'm not particularly looking at AFL, the organisation, although that is involved, of course.
Yep, and I believe it's changed somewhat. So what happened?
Initially, I had planned to do a book on homophobia in Australian rules football using interviews. So I wanted to interview coaches, players, supporters, etc. around the issue, but basically came up against a brick wall. I did manage to get 8 interviews in, but I needed a lot more than that. And there's a wall of silence around gay male players, and for good reasons. And that made it virtually impossible for me to continue with that plan. So I decided instead to tackle the issue through looking at paper, newspapers, media, through the going back to about 1980s.
And you also showed me some a minutes book from some old meetings with one of the clubs, I would think, quite an old bound thing all written out in ink and all the rest of it. Was there anything of interest there? Because it did seem to be very sort of the sort of discussion you just have lots of tiny things to talk about and no really big issues.
Yes, there wasn't anything, of course, in these minutes, which are the committee minutes of a football club in the 1940s and 1950s, and I'm just helping out by looking at the minutes to see if there are interesting things. There certainly isn't anything to do with LGBTIQ plus issues because, of course, it wasn't named in the first place anyway, and just the same in media often. The word homosexual or gay is often in the past not been used unless it was to do with something, a criminal trial, for example.
There must have been some criminal things going on back in the day.
Yes, there were. But again, they weren't mentioned in media unless it was perhaps a high-profile case or maybe even a medical issue. But other than that, it's very difficult to find.
Now, if anybody wanted to contact you with information or questions, do you have a website or whatever they could contact?
I don't have a website, but they're welcome to email me, and my email is David Gould, DavidGould, 3121 at gmail.com.
Thank you, David. My guest in Hot Potatoes today has been Dr. David Gould, who wrote the book Survivor and Thrivers 2 years ago, Male Homosexual Lives in Postwar Australia, published in 2023. And also you were telling me about where the funds went from the book sales. Could you just tell us that?
Yes, I don't receive funds from the sale of the book. The funds go back to the publisher, which is Queer Oz, which is OZ Folk. And those funds help LGBTIQ plus writers to be able to publish their work. So it's to help the next generations of writers coming along.
It's nice to see that going back into the community, isn't it? Now, David, with Carlton Pride, you've been involved with them for quite a while now, I think. What changes have you seen, and what changes are you hoping to come up soon along the track?
I think the first thing I'd say there is that our philosophy has always been that we do things step by step. We recognise that we're not going to be able to effect change overnight. And I think all people in the LGBTIQ plus community would probably recognise that. What we have seen, though, within our club, certainly, and also I think within some other clubs, is an understanding of our community much more than what it was in the past, and a willingness to engage with it. And the reason that's come about is simply by being around LGBTIQ plus people, but learning about how we think and our aspirations. And I think that's probably been borne out the most publicly through the AFLW, with the women players being so public. And yes, you could say that the men, for example, are still hidden, and that is the case. However, I think that with the education, at least we know now that male players who are gay are accepted within their clubs and by their fellow players. And that's a real shift. And hopefully it's something that will shift us even further in the future.
Indeed. And just as an example, if something homophobic is shouted out at a game, what's the process? Are they actually dealt with?
Yes. Again, that's a really great example of change that has occurred in the wider football community. So if any supporter yells out homophobic abuse at a game anywhere in Australia now, and that report is a report of abuse is made, then the person is removed from the ground. So clubs will not put up with that sort of language
anymore.
That
is quite a change, really, isn't
it? It's a very big change, yes.
And when Carlton Pride members are there at games, you don't have anything said about you along those lines?
Generally, no. I have experienced that one game I went to where I had my Carlton Pride scarf on, which has the rainbow colours in it. I did have three young guys yelling at me, asking what I had, why I had that scarf on. But I was okay with that. There was no real problem with it. But I have to say, Carlton Football Club were really quite amazing because they rang me the next day because they'd heard about it and just to ask if was I okay. And they would have looked into that if I had known who they were, which I didn't. But yes, they would have been on board.
Excellent. So there is stuff happening slowly in there and being dealt with, which is really good to know.
But I think the point is for us that we do that sort of work behind the scenes, quietly. We don't need to make a big issue of it, but eventually we'll get there.
Excellent. This is David Hood with Hot Potatoes. This is David Hood with Hot Potatoes.
Hot, hot potatoes.
Potatoes. Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Hot potatoes.
Yes, someone touched the hot potato.
Yep.
So, thank you very much to David Hood for that little expose.
Yeah, we hope to hear some more from David in the future.
We most certainly will, I dare say.
Although it was a little bit embarrassing, that interview, Mats.
Why?
They both rocked up in the same name.
Yes, it's David and David.
Do they know you can change that?
Yeah, well, no.
I mean, someone should.
Yes, but you know. You know, maybe they're very proud to be David and David.
Maybe they like being twinsies.
Maybe. Yes, but, you know, good call out. Thank you for that, Atlas.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, as I've said, it is, well, yesterday was an anniversary of the Stonewall Inn riots.
Indeed.
Which took place in the early mornings of June the 28th, 1969. So there is much that is known and there's much that is not known.
And there's much that is speculated.
Much that is speculated. So really people talk about riots, plural, for instance, because it's often misconstrued and forgotten that it was actually multiple flare-ups that took place on the night. So there was no single Stonewall riot.
No.
Yeah, there's quite a few flare-ups. And some people even say that, you know, some of the activists that were there describe it almost like it was a party, where the idea of the party in part was to disrupt the cops.
I love that. Because, let's have one.
Because the cops were definitely disrupting Stonewall Inn. I think one of the key things that I've sort of learnt looking into the history a little bit was that at the time there were plenty, well, there weren't plenty, but there were a few gay bars that existed. It was unlawful, but they were still there. But most of them, most of the gay bars had a strict dress code and certainly wouldn't have allowed people to dress in a way that was contrary to the sex that was assigned to them at birth in accordance with gender norms. Mm. So I think one of the things that's sometimes missed is that Stonewall was a club and it was a rarity in as much as it did allow transgender diverse people to attend.
It did.
As themselves.
There's so much to unpack there and we've got so little time, but
yeah.
Starting with the fact that it was several riots.
Yes.
Starting with the fact that, what we're touching on there with people being able to dress in a gender non-conforming
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
The Stonewall Inn was run by the mob, and such it was a pretty vagrant place, I suppose.
Yes.
Which is, I think, adds to why people were able to present that way in, yeah. in that space.
Yeah.
And then that further fuels the fact that the cops targeted that place because it was where they were.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. Mm. Yes, they might have grown a bit bored with just picking on the mainstream gays, so to speak, and so, you know, let's go where the real queers are that, you know, we really want to target.
Exactly.
So I think that that's now, I'm going to read out a little clip from a newspaper of the day. So this was from the Sunday News on Sunday, July the 6th. And this was the description, totally unbiased, factual description of the night.
Of course.
The crowd began to get out of hand, eyewitnesses said. Then, without warning, Queen Power exploded with all the fury of a gay atomic bomb. It's all very, you know, factual from, hasn't it, so far? Queens, princesses and ladies-in-waiting began hurling anything they could lay their polished, manicured fingernails on. Bobby pins, compacts, curlers. This is all sounding very realistic, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Lipstick tubes and other femme fatale missiles. Femme fatale missiles were flying in the direction of the cops. The war was on. This is my favourite bit. The lilies of the valley had become carnivorous jungle plants.
I'm down for some carnivorous jungle plants. So, but
thank you, Sunday News, New York, July the 6th, 1969. We might now want to hear from someone who was actually there.
Well, do we?
Yeah, do I wish to insinuate that the journalist that wrote that may not have been there? I think I will.
I think we should. I think that's a pretty firm position to take.
So this was an interview done by the UCLA Oral History, Gay Oral History Project of Marsha P. Johnson, no less, recounting aspects of the day.
Who better to hear from?
Now, were you there at the time of the riot?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, people just started throwing over cars, and they were throwing bottles, and they were throwing bricks, and they were throwing all kinds of things. And the cops was...
How did that start?
Well, it all started with a demonstration. A lot of people started demonstrating outside of the bar and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the cops just tried to chase them off the street and away from the bar, and they refused to move. Mm-hmm. And so the cops started hitting them with sticks, and they just started hauling bottles and everything.
Do you remember anybody else who was involved at the time?
At the Stonewall riots? Mm-hmm. Oh, there were so many people, Jim Ferrat was there. I mean, like, there was really an awful lot of people. I really couldn't remember too much about how many people were there, you know, as far as their names go and everything, because it's so far back.
How did you feel at the time?
Oh, I felt real good about them rioting. Because when I first came to New York, it was in 1963, when I finished Thomas Edison High School in Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And they only had one gay bar called the Blue Bunny uptown on 45th Street. Mm-hmm. And like you had to, you know, come there after dark and you couldn't do any drag or anything. You had to look very straight to get in. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then they start opening a lot of other gay bars like the Stonewall and stuff downtown. I mean, 1969, there wasn't too many places we could.
Was the Stonewall a beer bar or a liquor bar?
It was a liquor bar.
Oh, it was? I thought it was just a beer bar.
No, it was a liquor bar. Mm-hmm. And it was the first place they had go-go dances in New York, as far as a bar goes.
How big was it?
It was two rooms. They had a front bar and a back bar. Mm-hmm. And in the back bar, you could dance. And on the front bar, they had go-go boys. Mm-hmm. It was real nice.
What sort of crowd did it get? How would you describe the...
It got a whole great big crowd of middle class people coming there.
Many underage?
No, nobody was underage at the Stonewall.
Did they
Everybody's ID was checked.
Did they check ID carefully?
Yes, very carefully.
I had heard that they didn't.
They had two very wonderful gentlemen that worked at the Stonewall that always checked out everything. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear talk that it was a mafia bar?
Oh, hear talk? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I heard talk, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think that was mostly talk, but I don't know either. How long it had been in operation, do you know?
The Stonewall? Mm-hmm. Well, when I came downtown in 1967, because I used to hang out uptown. It was open already. And I started just hanging out there. I hung out there for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the only place that you can go and feel free to dance, you know, and mm-hmm. nobody would bother you at that time except for the Blue Bunny.
Were you going in drag any, or?
Yes, I had just started drags then. I wasn't doing drags until the late 60s.
On the street or in the just in the bars?
I mean, on a regular basis. You know, I used mm-hmm. to go in and out of drags on the streets. Mm-hmm. But I used to work waiting on tables and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. A bit of oral history, which is sort of runs contrary to a lot of what we hear.
I found it so interesting.
Mm.
The political way in which she talks.
Yes.
That she is really like, he's like, who was there? And she's like, no names for you.
Yeah.
We're not recording names live right now.
Yeah, that's right. And when it comes to, for instance, I have a feeling that, you know, that Marsha did know whether it was a mob bar.
But, 100%.
But it's like, you know, that's not the point.
Well, and also, are you going to dob in the bar that
yeah.
you can go to yeah. and get them shut down? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's right.
100% not. Yeah. So I found it really, like, just her community spirit in that way that she was talking and protecting
yes.
her community, even apparently years after this event's happened.
Yeah.
She's still got their back.
Absolutely. Now, it's just to show that, unfortunately, things haven't changed very much since Stonewall, not as much as we'd like to think. And certainly it didn't result in this great inclusive gay movement. Right. This is Sylvia Rivera at the what people these days tend to call the 1973 Pride Rally in New York City. But it was actually called the Christopher Street Gay Liberation Parade because Christopher Street was the street that Stonewall was on. The Stonewall Inn was on. So let's just see how 3 to 4 years later, so far as Sylvia Rivera is concerned, you know, things had improved.
Oh! Let her speak. Just a moment. I would like to avoid any trouble. This is a day of unity for us. I want us to be happy.
So that is, just to cut in, discussion amongst the crowd as to whether Sylvia Rivera should even be given the opportunity to speak.
Wow.
So I'll continue with the clip now.
Y'all better quiet down! Nothing. Trying to get up here all day for your gay brothers and your gay sisters in jail. They're writing me every motherfucking week and ask for your help. And you all don't do a goddamn thing for them. Have you ever been beaten up and raped in jail? Now think about it. They've been beaten up and raped after they haven't spent much of their money in jail to get their cell phones and tried to get their sex change. The women have tried to fight for the ethnic changes or to become women of the women's liberation. And they write DAW, not the women's group. They do not write women. They do not write men. They write DAW because we're trying to do something for them. I have been to jail. I have been raped and beaten many times by men, heterosexual men, that do not belong in the homosexual shelter. But did you do anything for them? No, you all tell me to go and hide my tail between my legs. I will not no longer put up with this shit. I have been beaten. I have had my nose broken. I have been thrown in jail. I have lost my job. I have lost my apartment for gay liberation.
So I think the jury's out there that, yes, Sylvia is simply not feeling there 3 years later that Stonewall turned into an inclusive gay liberation front that she would have hoped.
Words of Alison Thorne from last year. Stonewall was a riot. Now we need a revolution.
So this has been Queering the Air on 3CR, 855 AM. We'll go with Beat Boy from Visage. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.